This is the Motley Fool Radio Show with David Gardner. We're a show that talks a lot about big business, but we're also a show that recognizes and celebrates the many small businesses that make up this country, and we're a show that celebrates enterprise in all of its motley forms. So how's this for a business idea? Getting someone to pay you to do your work for you. Sound far-fetched? Well, don't tell that to Jan Jansen. He's the man behind an annual event called Flames in the Flint Hills. We learned about him from a recent story in the Wall Street Journal, a story that compared his enterprising ways to, quote, Tom Sawyer snookering pals into whitewashing his aunt's fence, end quote. Jan Jansen joins us from his ranch outside Emporia, Kansas. Jan Jansen, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you, David. It's a beautiful day out here in the Flint Hills of Kansas.
It's a pleasure to have you, sir, and I want you to, in fact, let's begin by, how about if you paint the picture for us, not just what Emporia, Kansas, or your ranch outside it looks like, but how about what is Flames in the Flint Hills? Tell us the story.
Well, the Flint Hills is a huge geologic eco-region here in the state of Kansas. Rocky outcroppings covered with tall grass prairie, the most productive, richest grassland in the world. And one of the reasons it is so is because Mother Nature, and now the farmers and ranchers of the area, burn that dead grass from last year off in order to renovate and rejuvenate the new grass for the coming spring.
And so that happens every year, once a year?
That happens every year in late March or early April, and happens about the same time, so there are often miles and miles of nighttime fires across the ridges all over this area.
And in contrast to all of the other people out there who are doing that, Jan Jansen, you have built an event around this.
Well, that's true. I was doing what everybody else was doing, a range-burning duty, a chore that needed to be done to protect the Flint Hills, and there are reasons that we do this. Yet I kept discovering people who were fascinated by it, seeing people driving the roads, trying to take pictures, meeting frustrated people who had come from far distances, only to find out that the fire was over or the fires hadn't started yet, and would have to return home empty-handed. And based on a party or two I had just with my friends to come out and play and help me do this, they convinced me that there were people that would gladly pay for this experience like they would for any other important kind of experience.
And so, in fact, how much am I paying if I want to do some range burning with you, you know, show up and start torching things?
You get hot fire, hot food, and hot music, hands-on experience with a good educational component, which is important to me, for $100 a person.
$100 a person.
Right.
And
so we have a bluegrass concert, a live bluegrass concert, and good ranch stew with all the trimmings, and this once a year important participatory experience for $100.
And when
I should tell you, by the way, next year it will be $120.
Aha. Uh-huh. So obviously you're having some success, and obviously the way we found out about you, as I mentioned, Jan, is I'm holding in my hand page one, Wall Street Journal. Burn Prairie Burn is the title. Tourists in Kansas come to torch grass. Jan, how does it work exactly? Are you supervising these people, or are they just randomly walking around lighting things on fire?
Heavily supervised. We have two burns, an afternoon burn that we do because people like to see it during the daytime, and they like to take pictures. And so we do the afternoon burn, and then we have the music concert and dinner in this old stone barn, and then we go out for an evening burn because they like that nighttime glow also. But I spend some time with them talking about, you know, how to stay safe, and they're all very attentive because they think I'm the only thing that's standing between them and the fire. And so we're very, very careful. I have some good helpers with experience that have done this a lot, and we go out, for example, this time and check the wind just before we had our music and food and made our plan about where they were going to stand. When we got there, the wind had changed just enough that we had to change the location of everybody. But we make sure they are downwind and in locations where they can back away from the fire as far as they want, because it's always hotter than they imagine. And then once they're all ready, and I can see everybody, then I say, "Fire lighters, are you ready?" And there's generally a big cheer from the crowd, and I say, "Light the fire." And they all have their own book of matches, and they bend over and start the fire, and it gets off to kind of a slow start, and then whoosh, away it goes.
Mm. And on the Motley Fool Radio Show, we celebrate business in all its good forms, the good forms that it takes, and I think this is one of them. I think it's an amazing business in that you have people paying you, in a way, to work for you, kind of the Tom Sawyer paint my fence. It's the American dream that I think you've found a piece of. Jan, understanding the business aspect of this, do you make money from this? What are the economics?
Well, quite frankly, at $100, I had 42 paid guests, and my expenses were roughly $1,000 to $1,200, so the net was $3,000.
Excellent.
And that's... you know, that's a nice little helper for me.
And can you give us a thimble full of education here about why you do range burning in the spring? Can you give us the 30-second education,
sure,
about the purpose of this?
The Tallgrass Prairie is in arrested development. It's not the climax vegetation. Left unburned and ungrazed, it would become a scrubby, shrubby, useless forest. It's the fire that protects the tall grass from getting shaded out and rooted out by trees. So by burning in the spring, after the trees and the shrubs and the weeds have sprouted, the fire kills the weeds and trees, and they don't come back, but the grass comes back.
Mm. Sounds like there might be a life lesson or two in there for us. I mean, we all need to do a little bit of range burning in our lives.
Kind of clear the desktop. I've often thought about burning off the top of my desk.
Any chance, if I made it educational and used some of the tips I've picked up today, Jan, any chance that I could get someone to pay me, let's say, to take out my garbage? Is there some life lesson that I can bake in from our time together that I can learn? How do I get people to pay me to do my stuff?
Well, you know, there's very little new information out there in the world as I see it. The difference is in the way a person interprets that information. So here, a lot of us in this area know about range burning, and mostly it's seen as a ranch kind of duty that needs to be done. I see that too, but I also see it as something of value to other people. So I would say, if you could reinterpret your trash to where it had a particular value to somebody else that others might not immediately see, you might find somebody to pay you to empty your trash.
You know, it's all about looking at the world a little bit differently.
I think so.
If I can find catharsis for other people in taking out my trash, darn it, I will.
Well, and you might even get paid for it.
You can read more on Jan Jansen and Flames in the Flint Hills at KansasFlintHillsAdventures.com. Jan Jansen, happy range burning. Thanks for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you, David, very much.